In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Tysanus Tetrarch of Albany, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized to him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were baptized, Jesus too was baptized. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Let's bow our heads together and pray. Father, we thank you for this story. Father, we thank you that it is relevant to us. It has things to teach us. And so, Father, we simply ask that it would do that for us today. Father, I read afresh this morning those words in Psalm 119 that says, your word is a lamp for our feet and a light to our path. And we ask, Father, that it would be that for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I've brought with me this morning two pairs of shoes. Oh, there's something in that one. That's my children. They put stones in my shoes and there's a big one in there. I brought with me two pairs of shoes because I hope that it will help us to visualize something that we're being taught in our story today. We're being shown, as it were, two pairs of shoes. I'm going to put one side down here, not that you can see them, and one down here. But two pairs of shoes. Now, we often talk, don't we, about standing in someone else's shoes. You ever used that expression? We use it, don't we, to think about kind of envying someone's position. So my children love to watch Blue Peter. Anyone seen that? Perhaps some of us remember it from kids, but it's still going. It's still a great TV program. And my wife and I regularly look at these presenters and think, I would love to stand in their shoes. I mean, they get to do just about every cool thing you can possibly imagine. They were traveling on some gravity-free plane. They were, you know, they get to go down the longest zip wires in the world. And yeah, Radzi got to be in the flyover, you know, on the of the Queen's parade. You just think, I would love to be standing in their shoes. We use it like that, don't we? To envy someone's position. But we also use it the flip side, don't we? And we say, oh, I'm really glad I'm not in their shoes. I'm really glad I'm not in David Cameron's shoes this week. You know, we use it, don't we, to say, I'm glad I'm not standing somewhere else. And this morning, as we come to this story, I want to suggest that it puts before us two pairs of shoes. The first belonged to our Lord Jesus. His shoes, the place where he stands, his life. And then there's another pair of shoes in this story that we've just read, which belong to us. Dirty shoes, mucky shoes. And what I want to do, first of all, this morning is to simply show you the shoes in which Jesus stands. I want to show you the enviable place that Jesus stands. And it should, if you're with me this morning, it should leave you saying, oh, I'd love to stand in his shoes. I'd love to be standing where he stands. So let me show you Jesus' shoes. Verse 21. Look down at your Bibles, you'll see it. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. First thing I want to show you about Jesus' shoes. Here is a man that heaven listens to. You see the picture? He prays, and what are we told about heaven? It's open. You see the picture? And I think what we're being taught here is that Jesus, in his position, in his shoes, is a man whose prayers go to the very center of heaven, to the throne room, to his Father. This is a man who is listened to as he prays. And I think that's part of this image of heaven being open. Access to heaven. Here is a man who has access to the very throne room of our universe. Heaven is open. Isn't that an enviable position? How many times have we thought to ourselves, I wish God would hear me right now. I wish that my prayers would pass this ceiling into the very throne room of God itself. Here is a man that heaven hears. You see that? It's right in the text. That's the shoes he stands in. But I think this heaven opened. So look at verse 21. Heaven was opened. I don't think it's there just to tell us that he has access to heaven. But it follows next that actually here is a man that heaven helps. So what's the very next thing that happens? Look at verse 22. The Holy Spirit descends out of heaven. The heavens that have opened. And comes down on Jesus. Heaven pours out its help on this man Jesus. That's an amazing picture, isn't it? Jesus has all the resources of heaven available to him. Heaven is opened. He has access to heaven. There's a channel. Do you see the picture? This is a man who receives freely the help of heaven. And then verse 22, look at what happens next. He has access to heaven. Heaven hears him. Heaven helps him by sending the Holy Spirit, heaven's helper. And then heaven says over him, you are my son, whom I love. This is heaven's loved son. Jesus is the Son of God who has the closest of bonds with his Father in heaven. The bond in many ways that Adam was meant to enjoy as he was created. The very next family tree ends with the son of Adam, the son of God. Adam was a type of son of God. And here he is. Jesus enjoys this closest of relationships. Jesus is the son of God, the loved son of God. And as he stands there, he has all the security of someone loved and cared for and protected. Isn't that a security you want? Aren't those shoes you want to stand in? And then look what happens next. This is my son. You are my son whom I love. What does he say next? With you, I am well pleased. Jesus is a man of whom heaven approves. Heaven looks down on Jesus and says, you have no sins hiding in your cupboard. You have nothing in your heart to hide. There are no secret thoughts and secret sins that are kept from the view of others that should mean I disapprove of you. Heaven declares over Jesus, you are perfect, you are sinless, I approve of you, with you I am pleased. Here is a man. Here is a man in the most enviable shoes. Do you see this? I want you to see it. It's right in the text. I'm not trying to do anything clever this morning. Heaven hears him. Heaven helps him. He is heaven's loved son. And he receives the approval of heaven. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Now let me ask you this morning. Is that not an enviable pair of shoes? Which of you sitting here this morning would not want God's approval over your life, would not want heaven to be open to you, would not want your prayers heard? You see, Jesus' shoes in this story stand in stark contrast to the other pair of shoes, which are the pair of shoes that we wear. See, look with me at the story, the setting for Jesus being baptized. Look at verse 3. He went into all the country. This is a man named John, around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We're introduced to a man. Many of you will know him. It's the man John the Baptist. And his job was to go around. Now, take this for a complicated sentence. To preach a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, if there was ever a religious phrase, there's one, isn't it? Who knows what that means? It sounds very complicated, doesn't it? But let me try and put it in language we might understand. John was going around telling people something about the shoes that they were wearing. Not Jesus' perfect shoes, but their shoes. He was saying to them, you are wearing shoes that mean you are turned away from God. We have lived lives that say, God, we want nothing to do with you. We want nothing to do with what you teach us, what you say to us about how we do life. We have shoes that are turned away from God. And actually, there's a long list of things which kind of come out here, a long list of actions associated with turning away from God. Attitudes, words, actions that mean that before God we are guilty. That's the shoes we wear. Unlike Jesus in our story, the shoes we wear mean that we do not have heaven's approval. Heaven does not look down on us and say, I'm pleased with you. Heaven is not open to people like us because of our sin. And John, now here's this phrase, okay? This is what he was coming to do. He was coming to say, you've got to turn back to God. You've got to, that's what the word repent means. Literally, turn back to God and seek his help and seek his forgiveness. Now, why baptism? Why was John to represent this turning, taking people and submerging them underwater and then hopefully pulling them back up again? I promise we'll do that later this year. Why was he doing that? Because water in the Bible is a symbol of God's judgment. Did you know that? Water in the Bible is a symbol of God's judgment. So think perhaps of one of the most famous water stories in the Bible. What is it? Most of you here are Christians, I can see that. It's Noah. The story of Noah. And here was a world full of wickedness. God was grieved at the world that he had made. And what did God do? He sent the waters of judgment because they were deserving of his wrath. Judgment. It's a picture of the judgments that fell. And through that water, he saved one man and his family. Story of Moses. The people of God trapped in Egypt. God rescues them out. He brings them through water on dry land. But then what happens to the enemy of God? The waves of God's water of the Red Sea, the waves of his judgment come crashing down on them. They deserved judgment and God sent it. Water is a symbol of judgment. And as people queued up, get this in the story, as people queued up, there was John. He didn't have a giant marshmallow like ours. He had a big river. And as people queued up to be baptized, what were they queuing up to say? They were queuing up to say, God, I deserve to be judged by you. I need your help. That's what they were doing. And friends, I want us to be real this morning that these shoes that this story shows us are our shoes. When we start life, we are in shoes that are turned away from God. Our actions prove that to be true. We are in shoes that are deserving of judgment. You know, you may think, well, my list of things isn't as bad as the person's next to me. It doesn't matter. God holds us to account for how we have treated him. And we are in shoes deserving of judgment. What a contrast to Jesus' shoes. You see that? How different the two sets of shoes are. Which shoes would you rather be standing in this morning? It's a dumb question, isn't it? Jesus' shoes or your shoes? But here's the thing I want to show you this morning. And church family, I hope that we rejoice in this afresh today. I want to just point out four words. Four words that change everything. Okay, have a look with me at verse 21. Jesus was baptized too. Jesus was baptized too. Jesus, remember what we've just seen about his shoes? Jesus joined the queue of people waiting to be baptized. He joined the queue of people who were turning from their sin and were turning back to God to seek his forgiveness. He joined the queue of people who were saying, God, I deserve your judgment. Please help me. Now, if you're with me, you should be thinking, why? Why did Jesus join that queue? Why did he join the crowds of people going down into the Jordan River to be dunked underwater? Why? Well, Jesus was making a very powerful statement, and I don't want us to miss it this morning. Here it is. I'm going to put it up on the screen. God, Jesus, the Son of God, came to stand in our shoes so that we might stand in his. Let me repeat that again. This is what's going on in this story. Jesus, the Son of God, came to stand in our shoes so that we might stand in his. That is the big thing that is happening in this story. As he joined this queue of people standing shoulder to shoulder with people who really do deserve God's judgment, he was identifying himself with us. He was saying that I've come into this world to stand in the shoes of people who deserve judgment. As Jesus climbed down into the river. You know, you got a picture. This was a real thing. He climbed down into the river as John took hold of him and submerged him underwater. He was acting out for us at that moment. And the crowds that were watching. The very reason that he'd come into this world. He had come to stand in the shoes of sinners and take the judgment that we deserve. 3 years after Jesus got down into the Jordan River, he was nailed to a cross. 3 years later, he hung dying on a tree, wearing my shoes. At the cross, he allowed the waves of God's judgment to come over him. His judgment at my sin. Jesus came to stand in our shoes. He demonstrated it on this day of his baptism, and he fulfilled it at the cross. And John's message as he went around preaching wasn't just turn from your sin. His message was there's a Saviour coming. Have a look in your Bibles at verse 4. He's likened to this voice in Isaiah where it says, prepare the way for the Lord. Someone's coming. God himself is coming. And verse 6, all the people will see God's salvation. God was coming to save people from judgment. And Jesus, as he arrives on the scene, is the one who saves us. Saves us from what we deserve. Jesus came to stand in our shoes. We see it. That's what Jesus has done for you. He stood in your shoes at the cross. If you are a Christian here today, that is what Jesus has done for you. He has stood in your shoes, deserving of judgment. And Jesus came, not just that we might be forgiven, but here's the beautiful thing, so that we might stand in his. We might stand in his shoes. Now, are you still with me? I can see it's a sleepy morning this morning. By turning to Jesus, by faith, we can now stand in the privileged shoes of Jesus. I doubt I will ever stand in the shoes of a Blue Peter presenter. My dream can live on. Maybe one day, as an old man, I might get to be a Blue Peter presenter. But they only seem to have young, beautiful, trendy people. So I think I've never any of those. So, well, I was young once, but that's about it. But actually, here's the thing. As mind-blowing as this may be to some of you this morning, we, by faith in Jesus, can now stand in the enviable shoes of Jesus. As we attach ourselves to Jesus by faith. You know, actually, even as I say this, it sends shivers down my spine because it's quite amazing. We are treated as Jesus deserves to be treated. Do you see the hugeness of that? It's not just that he wore our shoes and took our judgment away. No, now we have all the privileges that we read are true of Jesus. All the privileges that I listed earlier. And this morning, what I simply want to do as we finish is for Lucia, who, as she gets baptized today, for any of us here this morning that are believers in our Lord Jesus, I simply want to list to you, encourage you with the things that are now true of you. Because you stand in Jesus' shoes. Thing number one. Heaven hears you. Heaven hears you. Emma, my wife, wasn't very well this week. She had some viral thing. Completely wiped her out. But she spent 45 minutes on the phone. Trying to get a doctor's appointment. And at the end of the 45 minutes. The phone hung up. And there was no answer. She was trying to get access to the help she needed. But could she get through? No. And I need you to see this morning that as those turned away from God, heaven is closed to us. Heaven is closed in its access because we are sinful people who cannot have access to a pure and a holy God. We see it all through the Bible, actually. If you know the story of the Bible in Eden, in Genesis 1, what happens is, as they sin in Genesis 3, God sends them. He banishes them out of the garden and the way back is closed. Heaven is closed. We see it as God sets up home in a tabernacle in the Old Testament. People can only come so close because there's a keep out sign. Heaven is closed. There's a big curtain. Then when it was made into a temple, there was an even bigger curtain. The way to heaven for sinners is closed. But look again at verse 21. As Jesus was praying, heaven was opened. As you stand in the shoes of Jesus, heaven is now open to you. Do you feel the privilege of that? The relationship that God made you to have with Him is restored. You see it? Heaven is open to you because of Jesus. If you are a Christian trusting Jesus this morning, heaven is open to you. It is open to you as we pass from death to resurrection life, but it's open to you now as we pray. Prayer that is heard. You know, people always pray. I have a friend who was in the army. I was actually chatting to Luke as well, who was also in the army. Everyone prays at certain points. And a friend in the army told me that when everyone's on the battlefield, everyone prayed. Because it's the sort of situation that does. But here's the thing. Prayer that is guaranteed to be heard, heaven being open to you, is the great privilege of someone who is standing in Jesus's shoes. Most people pray and don't know where it goes. They don't know what happens to it. But as those standing in the shoes of Jesus, you know exactly what happens to your prayer. It is straight up to heaven. Straight up to the ears of our Father in heaven. And so, when you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus prayed much. You read on through Luke's Gospel, you'll find here is a man who made full access of heaven. He prayed, he got up early to pray, he stayed up all night to pray, he prayed before he went to the cross. Why? Because he knew heaven was open to him. And if Jesus used that privilege, how much more should we? Let me encourage you today, heaven hears you. Do you make use of that privilege? Number two, you have heaven's help. If you're standing in the shoes of Jesus today, you have all the help. Now, I want to be slightly fair to the doctors, because after Emma did try a few times to get through, eventually she got through, and she did get access to the help she needed. She got a doctor's appointment, she got a prescription, and then, hey presto, she's sitting here today nice and well. But that's the thing. She got access to the help that she needed. Now, look again at verse 22. The Holy Spirit, that the third person of the Trinity, descends on Jesus in bodily form. This is a very visual, very graphic thing. Now, for those of us that do church, I just want to say in one way, this just affirms to us that Jesus is the one who can genuinely then give us the Spirit. Because Jesus is the one who's given the Spirit so that he can then give it to us. But actually, can I tell you something else that we're meant to see in Luke's Gospel? That the Holy Spirit was help from heaven for Jesus to do the work that he had to do. You may think that's weird. Well, hang on, he's God, isn't he? He's the Son of God. No, but in his humanity, the Holy Spirit filled him and equipped him to do the work that he was meant to do. So just the very next story, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He's tempted by the devil. Now, which of us doesn't know that reality? To hit a week and be tempted by the devil, tempted to lie, tempted to take things that don't belong to us, tempted to shout at our children and be angry about things, tempted, it's everywhere. But it was as the Holy Spirit filled Jesus that he was then able to resist temptation. And this help from heaven is now available to us. Why? Because you stand in Jesus' shoes. You see that? It was his privilege that has now become yours. And why do you need it? Well, look at verse 8. John is preaching to the crowds and he says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Now, that's a bit of another picture. But it's basically saying, if you're saying to me that you're going to turn to God, then your life should start to show it. If you've turned to God on the inside, then stuff on the outside should start to show that's true. The way you treat people, the things you do with your time and your money, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Now, whose work is it to produce fruit? It's the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit helps us to become more and more like Jesus, to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You see, I want to encourage you today, as you get baptized, that this help from heaven is yours. Christian, this morning, I want to encourage you that this help from heaven is yours, it's ours. The Holy Spirit is given to us to equip us to follow Jesus. We need to make use of this help, keep in step with this help. Number three, you are heaven's loved child. If you are standing in the shoes of Jesus, you are heaven's loved child. Look again at verse 22. This huge voice from heaven declares over Jesus, "You are my son, whom I love." That's Jesus' shoes. Now, can I tell you something this morning? Okay, we're never going to be the Son of God, the Son of God. And you'll be in great error if you think you are. But let me tell you something spectacular. As you wear the shoes of Jesus, heaven looks over you. The Father in heaven looks over you and says, "Because of Jesus, you are my daughter. You are my son. You are my child whom I love." Do you get that? Most of us long to be loved. Most of us long to be cared for. But heaven says over you, as someone who's been given Jesus' shoes to wear, "I love you. You're my child. And nothing will separate you from my love. I will care for you like a father should care for a child. I will love you. I will discipline you. I will correct you. I will provide for you. You are my child whom I love." What a privilege. That is what heaven says over you if you are wearing Jesus' shoes. And lastly, you have heaven's approval. You have heaven's approval. We're always seeking people's approval, aren't we? You might think we're not, but we are. You know, we want people to like us on Facebook or like the things we post on our status. We want people to like our new hairdo. That's no comment, by the way, on mine. We want people to like the things we do. We want people to say, you know, "Wow, you're great." But actually, just have a look at verse 22. What bigger approval could you want than this? Heaven says over you, "With you, I am well pleased." Again, this is a big mystery, but I want to encourage you with it. If you're a Christian here this morning, heaven does not see you clothed in your sinfulness and your ugliness. What heaven sees you is clothed in the perfection of Jesus. And so God the Father can genuinely look over people like us, a ragbag bunch of people like us, and say, "With you I'm pleased." He sees us through the perfection of Jesus. He's not pretending. God's not pretending that everything's all right. And he's not pretending because Jesus really did wear my shoes at the cross. My sin really is paid for. My sin really is dealt with. And now he sees me through the perfection of Jesus because I wear his shoes. Oh, look, Nathan, he's wearing my son's shoes. "With you, I am very pleased." Lucia, oh, look, she's wearing my son's shoes. "With her, I'm very pleased." And that's what heaven says over you. Now, does that mean we don't sin? Of course we sin. Until Jesus returns and rids us of the presence of sin, we sin. But they are forgiven sins because Jesus wore our shoes at the cross. And we stand in his shoes. And heaven says of you, "I approve." And this is incredibly liberating. First of all, it robs you of pride. You cannot sit here this morning and say, "Heaven's pleased with me. What a good boy am I." Actually, it's very humbling. Heaven is pleased with you because you're wearing Jesus' shoes. It saves you trying to seek God's approval by your performance. You know, how many of us try and do that? "Oh, if I try really hard today, if I'm a really good boy today, God will be pleased with me." No, God's already pleased with you because you're wearing Jesus' shoes. "With you, I am well pleased." By faith in Jesus, heaven genuinely says over you, "With you, I am well pleased." And that's why John going around preaching about Jesus is good news. Jesus came to stand, let me go back a bit. Jesus came to stand in our shoes. I can't get it to work. Here we go. Jesus came to stand in our shoes so that we might stand in his. Because you've been very patient, but I'm very aware that as I talk about that, there may be someone here this morning who's saying, well, that's great, but how do I stand in Jesus' shoes? How do I move from where I am now, the dirty, sinful shoes I'm wearing, to stand in these wonderful shoes of Jesus? Well, to use the language of our passage, what you need to do today is to repent. You need to turn to Jesus. And it means, first of all, admitting that you're someone who deserves God's judgment. Like Lucia in a moment, who's going to get down into the water, she's admitting that she needs God's judgment, that she deserves God's judgment for her sin. But then you need to believe. Believe that Jesus came into this world to wear your shoes so that you could wear his. And you need to pray. And you might want to pray something like this: Almighty God, sorry that I have lived my life turned away from you. I deserve your judgment. Thank you that Jesus stood in my shoes at the cross. Please forgive me. And if you pray that today, whether you're from the youngest guys here to the oldest guys, actually, if you pray that, I can't promise you voices from heaven. I can't promise you big flashing lights. But we do have a promise of God that says when you pray that, you have the privilege of standing in Jesus' shoes. So I'm going to give a moment's quiet and then I'm going to pray that prayer. And if anyone here wants to pray that in your heart, just say amen at the end. And then that's what it means to become a Christian. To turn to Jesus and say, please forgive me. So I'm going to give a moment's quiet and then we will pray together. Almighty God, sorry for living my life turned away from you. I deserve your judgments. Thank you that Jesus stood in my shoes at the cross. Please forgive me so that I might stand in his shoes. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing before we baptize Lucia. But let's stand and let's sing together. To God be the glory. It's his work.